Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. Several changes to today's agenda. I'll walk through them now. Under Mr. Hans Medlar's, items 3 and 4 can be struck. Mr. Medlar's would like to come back at a future date and address those two items. Under grant requests, number 4 and number 6 can be struck. The applicants asked for more time. And then under the 130 public hearings, change of zone 1976 filed on behalf of John H. Legg and change of zone 1977 can both be struck. The applicants asked for more time.
So moved.
Motion. Mr. Shaver. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Shaver.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of May 9th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have two letters. The first is from the Greater Lewis Foundation and from First State Community Action Agency, both thanking council for their grants. That is all.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. We want a public comment. Now is the time for anybody who signed up to speak to council for 3 minutes about anything that the council has some control over or interest in. And we have one person, Dale Smith.
Morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a button on that. There you go. Thank you.
There we go. Okay. Good morning. I'm Dale Smith. I'm the board president of Family Promise of Southern Delaware, and I'm also part of the Sussex Housing Group. And that's why I'm here today, is to continue our discussion with you all about the need for affordable housing in Sussex County. Back a couple years ago, the United Way and the Department of Health and Social Services did a study that was called ALICE. It's about the population of various states, including now Delaware, that talks about those folks who are asset limited, income constrained, employed. Often talked about as being the working poor. Most of us have this notion of the federal poverty level. Well, this ALICE threshold is that next level up of people just barely having enough for a household survivability income. Those are the folks that we tend to see in our grocery stores or know that they're in our healthcare systems. Those are like one paycheck away from having, or one disaster away from having a disaster. So those are the folks that are struggling with trying to get affordable housing where they work. We are seeing a lot of situations where families who have been evicted, families who are living in motels, can't get out of that situation because just no affordable housing available. Now, you've done a lot of work in the past, and what I would hope is that someday I can come back and say, yes, Sussex County is an example of what can be done in this area. Some of the things I could think about doing is being able to repurpose some of the retail spaces to be converted into housing. Another thing to do is to allow those zoning considerations to have residential space above retail space. And another is to allow multiple kitchens in a particular structure so that a home could be renovated into multiple apartments, having folks rent there. There are a lot of folks on the Sussex Housing Group who have a lot of expertise in this field. I know some of you have heard from Michelle Williams in the past. She is a treasure trove of information about what the zoning constraints are and what could be done to put tiny homes or accessory dwelling units on properties. I'm sure you're all aware of the Pallet Village that's here in Georgetown. That was great to get people out of living in the woods so they at least have a shelter. But those structures don't have a kitchen. They don't have a bathroom in that structure. So it's much better than a tent, so they're safer in that regard. But where do they go after that? Are there group homes that could be allowed? So again, I'm just here today to say thank you for the work you've done in the past. I want to continue. We'll have other folks coming from Sussex Housing to help continue this discussion. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Dale, I think you had a great story in the paper this morning also, didn't you, in the Delaware State News?
I did not see that,
take a look
that,
at
sir.
It. I think it was very good.
Okay. Yep. Well, good.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Operator, check online, please.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
They say nobody. We'll close public comments. Patty Grimes. Where's Patty? Somewhere, I thought she is. Come on down.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you can turn your mic back on or whatever there. There you go. It's on. Thank you, Chip.
Good morning. My name is Patty Grimes. I'm the executive director of the Joshua M. Freeman Foundation. And I want to thank the county council for your support in the past of the importance of the arts in the county. And today I'd like to take a few minutes to give you an update on the state of the arts from the Joshua M. Freeman Foundation's perspective. And I'm here to say that thankfully, the arts are alive and well, and we've gotten through COVID, and I invite you to be on this journey with me. So we'll start out. I'm having a little trouble with next here. We'll start out with our purpose, vision, and mission. The purpose of our organization is to create opportunities to elevate the human spirit. And we do that through our vision, which is our North Star of transforming lives through the arts. And in 15 years, we have done that in Sussex County. You're going to hear some statistics today about that. And our goal is to continue to transform lives through the arts to be a sustainable arts organization. My colleague Darren Silvis and I are here today to really take you through this journey. Darren is our development director, and he is charged to not only make sure that our story is being told, but as a public charity to make sure that we have the support from the public to fulfill our mission. So our history, you may remember Josh Freeman passed away tragically in December of 2006, and his wife Michelle started the Joshua M. Freeman Foundation to create a legacy for someone like him who loved the arts and loved inclusiveness. So as a public charity, that means everyone has the opportunity to come and see the arts. And so in 16 years, this is year 16, we have transformed from this small wooden stage that could, that started in 2008 with 10,000 folks coming, to fast forward to 2015, and we had 92,000 people cross our threshold at Freeman Arts Pavilion, and we impacted over 25,000 students in the schools of Worcester, Wicomico, and mainly Sussex County. So we're well beyond, you know, almost eclipsing 120,000 people. You'll also notice there that we look a little different. We purchased a mobile stage, and that allows us to have larger national recording acts, which has really helped tourism and brought the county to be known as an arts destination. Darren, do you want to come up and help me navigate this thing? So who we are, I talked about the 501c3. Since we've been here, over 750,000 patrons have enjoyed the arts. That's 750,000 people. We present 70 shows at least. This year we have 72. I hope you've seen our calendar. If you haven't, join us at freemanarts.org to select one of many performances. We have diverse performances from rock and roll to ballet to hip hop dance, a young audience program every Saturday. And what we're very proud of, again, since we started in 2008, we have free programming for everyone. So at Freeman Arts Pavilion, 37% of our programs are free for everyone to come. And Children are free at many of our performances that are paid as well. In addition, when we're not at Freeman Arts Pavilion, we are in the schools. And so we are, that's why I said I'm so glad to share with you that we are back in schools full stop. And this year, just in a few weeks, the Magic School Bus will actually be at Freeman Arts Pavilion, and 6,500 children will see, maybe for the first time, musical theater. So 25,000 children have seen those at no cost. And then now we are out in the community making sure that the arts are also part of a vibrant community, especially with communities with barriers. So this year we had a presentation at the Georgetown Library with the Twin Poets. We were at the Boys and Girls Club at Seaford. And we were also at West Side Beginnings in Rehoboth to present arts programs to that community. This is our Arts Access Initiative. Those four programs are Being in the Schools, our Young Audience Series, which are free, the free program, free programming at the stage, and then our Community Access. We are committed to actually getting into our communities a little bit differently than what we have in the past. The landscape of Sussex County, as you well know, continues to change. And so we want to get to know our friends and neighbors beyond the eastern part of and the southern part of this county. Next, please. So volunteers, if you've ever come to the Freeman Arts Pavilion, you know that the backbone of what we do is actually having the community involved. We have a robust, and may I say, award-winning volunteer program that the governor has provided that recognition to our volunteers last year. We have 260 volunteers. They volunteer a minimum of 40 shows. And they have many roles, but if you look at that last bullet point, since they have been with us, that is $3.1 million in value every single year. And so if you're a volunteer, it's not about the money that you give to the community through your time and talent. It's about leveraging that $3.1 million where we are now being able to use those funds and do more programming out in our communities. So a lot of times people think the arts are soft. And what I'm gonna say to you is guaranteed the arts have impacted the quality of life in Sussex County. When businesses are thinking about coming to Sussex, they think about, is there good education for my children? Is there good health care? And is there cultural things to do? We feel like we have filled that cultural void along with other great partners like Clear Space and Possum Point Players and the Rehoboth Art League and many, many more. But we also know they break down barriers. So there's something terrific when you go to a concert and you could be sitting next to someone who is worried about how they're gonna pay their gas and electric bill and put food on their table, and the other person's just worried about how they're gonna get all of their schedules together. It makes no difference when the music plays. The arts are the great equalizer. But more importantly, or just as importantly, is the economic impact that we have brought to this county in 15 years. So we have commissioned a study, and by the way, I've given you that economic study that has been commissioned by the public administration of University of Delaware Biden's school, and that is a pretty robust third-party study that tells you as stakeholders in this county that we have contributed over $101 million and economic impact since the inception of the Freeman Arts Pavilion. And that is only gonna grow as we grow over time. So in year one, we had an economic impact of $2 million. At the end of 2015, our economic impact for 1 year was $18 million in the county. I think that's pretty good for a nonprofit and a small business. And on top of that, for every dollar that is spent at the Freeman Arts Pavilion, $2.12 is circulated back out into the economy. So I want to let you know that the arts are contributing in many ways, quality of life, economic value, and bringing equity and equality to this county. Next slide. So the next thing is, what is the future? The future is actually now. COVID actually worked for us. We took some bold moves and went into a phased approach with our capital campaign. And instead of building the Freeman Arts Pavilion in one fell swoop to be able to survive the pandemic, we actually acquired that piece of land. And now we have a 5-acre campus that we are building on in a phased approach over the next 5 years. If you look at that top slide where you see the entrance and the box office, I'm pleased to let you know that that will be opened and we'll have our grand opening in just a few weeks. So that is complete. And we are working towards our final destination of having everything done. It's a $32 million project. We think it'll be done in 2027, 2028. We currently are at $23 million in fundraising, so we have $9 million to go. We won't be able to do that unless we have the support of the public, so we are in our open phase, our public phase of that campaign right now. And in addition to a larger campus and being allowed to do more shows, our Arts Access Initiative continues to grow. So we plan on continuing to have a robust program for students. Students will now be touched 6 times during their academic career with different arts programming, thanks to the public, to Sussex County Council, and to the Freeman Arts Pavilion. And so with that, I'm here to answer any questions that you might have, to thank you for making sure that the arts are supported by the county, and we invite you to be guests of ours sometime this summer at Freeman Arts Pavilion.
Any questions of council? Questions of council? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ma'am, this is not a time for questions from the public. This is questions from the council.
Okay.
I would like to say thank you for all you do for our community.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys do a great job.
Thank you, John.
You're on that level.
Thank you.
I just wish we had you and Lewis.
Well, I always say you don't need a passport to go over the Indian River Bridge, so come on down. Thank you.
Thank you. Just want to remind all of council, this is a brand new system for us. Anytime you speak, you need to turn on the microphone. It doesn't turn on by itself. And then turn it off. Thank you, Patty, very much. We appreciate all you do. Okay, next thing is under me, discussion and possible action to tributes, resolutions, and proclamations. Some I brought up some weeks ago. And I had some concern about how we're doing this and what we're doing, and it needs to be consistent for everybody. Everybody should have got a copy of the proposed policy that I'm recommending. At least 3 weeks ago, you got that, so I'm sure you've all read that. A little history. 10 or 12 years ago, on our rules of procedure, council showed approving all tributes and proclamations at the county level. Some years later, we stopped doing that. It wasn't a big issue doing it, but now I think we need to go back to somewhat what we used to do. Somebody said that other important things to do besides this. This effort on this is primarily on my effort, so I've done all the research, talked to Kent County and Newcastle County, state legislators, a couple of towns, see what they do and how they handle things. And I think it's two things. The first reason is we need to set a set of standards that we can all be consistent with, so everybody gets the same treatment, the same issues, the same reasons. And create guardrails on what these documents are for, so they have some meaning. I think it's very important that when somebody gets something from Sussex County Council, that it is something that means something to them, something they will cherish and be proud of. So with that, I'm gonna move on to the policies that were proposed in the draft policy. And you see there's three tiers, tier one, tier two, and tier three. I would say that I'm going to do this in, I guess, in reverse. Tier three is actually a congratulatory letter. Other agencies use this, state legislature uses this, where versus giving a proclamation or a tribute or something, we actually sit down, actually write a handwritten letter to someone showing them that we appreciate what they've done in this county. Interesting, I was talking to one legislator who said he walked into a house 2 years after he had written a handwritten note to a member of that family. And on the refrigerator hanging was that handwritten note, that it meant that much to that family. It wasn't a tribute hanging on a wall, it was a note from their legislator. So I think we would start with the base thing we would do to congratulate somebody is a handwritten note or some type of letter from us individually, from the person, from Mike Vinson, from Cindy Green, from Mark Schaefer, from whoever. You would do that to pay somebody in your district. Tier two moves on to two things, tributes and memoriams. A memoriam obviously is in celebrate someone who has they passed on, but they did a lot of things in Sussex County to benefit Sussex County. The second thing would be tributes. And the tribute idea that at least I have is the tribute will come from individual council member. It'll be on a document that you would have either staff or yourself fill out and sign it. And give that to whoever you want to give it to. And I think Mr. Lawson has down there, I think I asked him to bring in something that I'm talking about. You look down there, Mr. Lawson, you'll see what it looks like. Same size as a proclamation, but it's a tribute. Have the person's name on it and your name at the bottom where you would sign it. And it's from you. And the third thing is proclamation. And proclamations come from the entire county council. So with proclamations, somebody would suggest a proclamation. It would be reviewed by the county administrator. Make sure it fits what we want to do, goes on the agenda. And it'll be put on a consent agenda on our agenda each Tuesday if there's something there. And we would vote on that as consent agenda, or somebody could pull something off if they have a question about it. But anything that comes from the county council on our document would be voted on by the entire county council. And then put in place the signatures on there would be the signatures of the county clerk, council president, and the person who set that proclamation forward. I'm trying to make it as simple and clear as possible. Any questions on that? I know you've had time to read this thing, look at it, what it has, and okay.
I read everything, and I agree with you, Mr. Vincent, that there should be some formality to the process, and I'm glad to see the. I think the tribute design and the proclamation design are both within keeping of, I think, of the respect due to the citizens of the county, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. And the second thing we would deal with is in that needs to, our the policy needs to show up in our rules of procedure, and that was I think rule four under agenda that shows that this is allowed to be put on the agenda, proclamation. And then the next thing would be under rule, a whole new rule 11A, 11A1 talks about proclamation, tributes, and memoriams, and how to be dealt with by policy. It's really, I think, fairly simple. It does make it consistent. So, you know, what we shouldn't do, Mike Vincent shouldn't walk in here and get a tribute or a proclamation on county council to give to, I'm gonna pick something out of the sky, the custodial staff at Seaford High School. Maybe it's custodial staff month, I don't know what it would be. And I would get that, get it processed, I would take it there. Nobody up here except me would know about that. My concern is how that makes the other custodial staffs in the entire county feel when just Seaford got that and nobody else did. Woodbridge didn't, Cape didn't, whoever. And I think that's very unfair of me to do that. So I think that should be what we're working about. At the end of the day, this is about the people. It's about the people who have done something extra special in this county that we should be recognizing them and make sure we do that in a proper manner. And You know, it's not about Mike Vincent with a photo op in a newspaper or something for my campaign run again next time or something. It's not about that. It's about the person. And we need to deal with the people. And that's why we should have this thing focused on that and do it that way. So, and any questions? If not, I'm going to make a motion to start with. I guess, Mr. Moore, the first thing would be the policy.
That is correct.
Make a motion to adopt the policy as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion myself, second. Mr. Hudson, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I would yes, motion carried. And the second thing would be to adopt the amended rules of procedure to put that in place. I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
As a member sitting here not aware there was a problem to start with, I'm going to vote no.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I would yes, motion carried. Mr. Lawson, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item of business is the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities appointments. I believe there was a memo in your packet related to several appointments we need to make for the Advisory Committee, including Kathy Parker, District 1, Helen Pace, District 1, Fran Smith, District 2, Linda Rogers, District 2, Scott Phillips, District 3, Linda Forte, District 4, and Jamie McGee, District 5. As you know, these members serve on this committee and serve two-year terms. All of these respective members have been contacted and are willing to serve another 2 years. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council reappoints the respective members as presented to the Aging Committee effective immediately for a term of 2 years or until May 2025.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
I'll second it.
Mr. Riley.
I have a question.
Question on the motion, Mr. Riley.
And this more of a holistic question. I take note that we've had issues with being able to recruit people for this particular committee and some issues with maybe the whole idea that their purpose and mission has changed over time and maybe it's not as clear as it once was. And I guess the question I'm raising is whether or not we should consider sunsetting this committee. I'm just gonna put it out on the floor.
Good question, Mr. Riley. I did have a conversation with the current chairperson, Ms. McGee, Jamie McGee, about that. They are having trouble with volunteers and kind of agenda items and people participating in their meetings. She's going to take that back to the committee and start that conversation. I would note the other two counties had an aging advisory committee. This was a statewide effort many years ago. They have sunsetted their committees. So it may be time for us to consider the same. I will report back what Ms. McGee and the committee reflects upon when they bring this up. They had a conference that they scheduled and hosted, and then COVID did them in for that conference. The conference was well attended. It brought some excitement to the committee and a purpose. So perhaps if now that COVID's over, they can try that again. Certainly up to them, but I agree with you. They have had some lacking participation in the recent past, which calls into question their purpose. I will report back.
Is there any more questions?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Next is County Administrator's report for May 16, 2023. One item. Sussex County conducted its third annual Keep Delaware Litter Free event on Friday, May 5th. I'm pleased to report that more than a dozen employees took part in this year's event, picking up trash and other debris along roadways in the Georgetown and Millsboro area. Staff that took part collected some 55 bags, an entire truckload of trash during this three-hour cleanup event. I want to thank the staff who participated in doing their part to keep our community clean, and we look forward to next year's event. Mr. President, I'd add this editorial. If anyone took a moment to clean up the sides of the roadways and this trash and litter problem, they would never allow anything out of their cars again to be to litter the roads, so it's a great event for us to be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and certainly thank all the staff that participated in that. Maybe next year we'll make some plenty of notice. Maybe next year council can help do that.
We would love that. I've done it before.
I didn't say you had. I'm just saying.
I'd be happy to help.
I'm just saying. Karen Burlington, second quarter employee recognition awards. Good morning.
Good morning, members of council. So I'm happy to announce and congratulate our second quarter Shining Star Honorable Mention winners. We had 21 submissions this quarter. So the Shining Star Committee selected two individuals. We have them here with us today. Rachel Noguera, she is a Library Assistant 2, and Bernadette Hemingway, a Library Assistant 3. Both of these ladies work at our South Coastal Library. They are here with us. They'll come up in a little bit. At this time, I would like to read their Shining Star submissions. Each lady received two submissions. The first one was for Rachel, and she received the Above and Beyond badge. She successfully recruited, planned, and carried off a session of her True Crime Book Club, getting DE Attorney General Kathy Jennings to come to the library on April the 12th to discuss the Stephen Pennell case. This was Delaware's only known serial killer. I believe that was the Route 40. So this was back in the 1980s. The 40 attendees were very involved in the lecture and Q&A afterwards, and Ms. Jennings and her assistant relayed to how well Rachel had planned the event, answering their questions immediately or even answering questions before they were asked, and wished every presentation had gone as smoothly as the one at our library. After the lecture, Rachel was talking to the presenter and audience members, brainstorming on ideas for other presentations. She leveraged connections she made that afternoon, resulting in her contacting and getting Judge Ferris Wharton to present a talk at her June 14th True Crime Club on the Thomas Capano case, where he was privileged to serve as one of the prosecutors. Rachel has gone beyond reading and hosting a book discussion club, which she does extremely well, to getting Delaware criminal justice leaders to come to our library in Bethany to discuss famous cases. The Crime Book Club was already a huge hit with our patrons. She has taken it over the bar. Thanks for providing such excellent library service to the community and thinking outside the box to do it. That was from Sue Keefe, our library director. Her second submission was the team player. Rachel's a team player when it comes to programming. She plans and hosts several programs at the library and is also one of a handful of staff members that can sit in and run hybrid programs. Thank you, Rachel, for helping out with adult programming. It is very much appreciated, and that came from Kristen Cooper. So on to our second winner, Bernadette Hemingway. She received the Above and Beyond badge. Bernadette went above and beyond to fix our disc check machine. She not only cross-trained on the device and volunteered to do so with when the previous staffer left, she spent countless hours in January trying to fix the broken disc check. She read the manuals, reached out to the vendor, and through hard work and determination, fixed the machine. The machine is vital to repairing worn DVDs and audiobook CDs, which saves the library lots of money. Second was the problem solver badge. Bernadette shared a working document on how to download library e-materials for several databases we use statewide. Given the different systems and all the different devices that patrons bring in for troubleshooting, this document is extremely helpful to staff. It's difficult to remember all of the workarounds for all of the different e-products and devices. Couple that with some platforms that are no longer supported, but people still use to read e-books, and helping others can get very stressful. Thanks for helping to take some of the mystery out of all of the e-material collections. So each one will receive a certificate, a Shining Star pin, and they will be eligible for the Employee of the Year. Okay, so if everyone would please join me in congratulating Rachel and Bernadette for their outstanding contributions, and if you can come on up for a picture.
morning, Mr. President, members of council. I am here today concerning our current contract with Tyler Technologies and the Real Property Reassessment Project for Sussex County. Persistent challenges in the labor market have caused delays in project activities, including data collection and data entry. The original date for completion of the project was February 15th, 2024. The amendment to the contract that was included with your packets would extend that by 1 year to February 15th, 2025. Joining me today is Senior Project Supervisor with Tyler Technologies, Mary Nolte, should you have any questions concerning the amendment to the contract.
Any questions of council? Questions of council?
Have a question.
This is Green.
So have you just, with doing the reassessment, have you looked at any of the numbers? Or are they turning out, I'm just wondering if anything is turning out high or low, or are you looking at numbers at all yet? In any community or something, is there a sample of any kind?
Not for evaluation numbers yet. The first thing that we need to do is send out the data mailers to property owners to complete the data collection phase for our community, and we are actively working on prepping those data mailers for the areas that have been collected. Those will be going out once data collection is complete and also when our sales review period, so we are validating sales through June of 2023. That's a 30-month window for our sales. Once we have the sales completed in our validity phase, which will end after June, then we can begin looking at valuation and setting up the models that'll be used for value. So we don't have any of those yet.
Okay.
We expect to have it later, you know, the beginnings of that later this summer.
Okay. Be interesting just to get some feedback.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And all of the work is being done in the county's database, so the assessment office will have access to all of that as it's ongoing.
Mr. Riley.
That raises an interesting question for me. It's, I think there's a perception out there that when you go out and you feet on the ground, look at the property, mm-hmm. say in 2023, that by 2025, the value may have changed. But it doesn't, that's not what you're actually doing. You're simply going out, you're not assigning a value, you're simply identifying these particulars of the structure, where it's located, what it looks like, size, and you know the particular physical attributes of that structure, and won't assign a value to anything until everything is completed. Is that the process that I understand?
Yes. And
so just nobody is going to be assessed and then you know, at a disadvantage or an advantage because of the time horizon of the process.
Correct. That's why we use such a long period, a 30-month window, for our sales analysis period, so we know that the market does change mm-hmm. through those 30 months, and we trend the values for properties that have sold, so we can get an accurate snapshot of those properties that have not sold.
Right.
Or an accurate view. So what I think, you know, the question that you're asking, we will continue to look at sales to make sure that our values have trended correctly based on the 30-month window. And then beyond, because we're extending the project, we'll continue to look at those. No one will be at a disadvantage. Everyone will be treated equally in the playing field. Mm-hmm. But like, you do raise a good point, because everyone does want to know what happens next in the upcoming year. The work will just continue, but everyone will be on the same equal playing field
right.
for that.
Because I know you heard it at the public hearings that there was an anticipation that we're going to have a softer real estate market. Values would decline, and if you happen to be assessed early in the process, right. you would be assessed at a higher than market level, and that wouldn't have been fair. But that's not the case,
correct?
What I'm hearing,
that's correct.
Everyone will be assessed and assigned a value at the same time,
right?
That's good. Yeah. Good to be clear.
Any more questions, council? We don't have any questions.
Motion?
Motion, please.
All right. Be it moved that Sussex County Council extend the original contract with Tyler Technologies by 1 year to complete the Real Property Reassessment Project for Sussex County.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir, and thank you. Mr. Medlars? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. Two items, I have two of them we're punting back to next week. But the first one is the land survey mapping contract. It was a five-year contract awarded in 2019. County Council has used it very successfully. It had an initial annual cap of $75,000. First year, we didn't need the cap, or did not exceed the cap, I should say. Ever since then, we have been doing more than that, and you saw it in the summary sheet. More recently, we've been driving. Last year's cap exceedance was driven mostly by County Council purchases, which is good. You know, like you made the purchases, we needed the surveys, and the administrator always moves ahead of everybody else when he needs the surveys. But all jokes aside, we have this year, we have had a number of court actions you had authorized in association with the Piney Network, and they require a full survey signed by a sealed and licensed professional surveyor. So we ask you to increase that cap for the second time this year to do four more surveys for a property located on that route. And Mr. Councilman Hudson knows well who we're talking about. So we have a recommendation to increase the cap for this year for $40,000. For the rest of the year, and then it reverts back to the 75.
You have a motion?
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the not to exceed cost associated with the land survey and mapping services contract be increased for FY23 by $40,000 for a total annual not to exceed cap of $160,000.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next one is the Lockwood Community Sewer Extension Project. I gave you the funding summary. It's a USDA-funded project, so we do have some restrictions there on how quickly we can access additional funds. That sort of drives one of the decisions. The other one gives you the engineering background, who was appointed, how long it took, all the permitting. And then the last paragraph gives you the advertisement. We advertised the project. We had good response. There was a solid five bids. We analyzed the bids. They were all over our budget, not by that much, but by enough for us not to be able to award it with USDA concurrence without getting the additional funds. That means we need the extra window, more than 60 days to award. So this time we also debriefed the bidders, came up several value engineering suggestions, which we are currently implementing. We should be ready to re-advertise and rebid based on your authorization. And I hope we get it underneath the USDA threshold so we can go and award based on the available funds, which would be very helpful.
Sure.
So I have a recommendation, but we're trying anything and everything to streamline these because working together with the finance team, supplemental funding on the USDA side is pretty tricky.
Okay.
So we're trying to avoid that.
You have a motion?
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that all bids for contract S22-07 Lockwood Sewer Expansion be rejected and that the contract be value engineered and rebid as soon as possible.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse? Couldn't find you there for a minute.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. We have three items of old business this morning. All three items relate to the same parcel of land. The first is an ordinance to amend the future land use map elements of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel ID in its District 334, Map 12, Parcel 16.04. All three relate to a property lying on the west side of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24, approximately 0.25 miles southwest of Mulberry Knoll Road. The 911 address is not available, and it's Sussex Essex County Route 284. County Council may remember this from the public hearing held on July 26th of last year, and then at the meeting of August 30th of last year, Council deferred for further consideration.
Any questions of Council? Any questions of Council? Mr. Riley.
Question. So, on the ordinance to amend the future land use map, are we increasing the density on this particular? That's a request that they have.
So the ordinance itself is to amend the future land use map element, which wouldn't by itself increase the density.
Correct. The net effect is increased density.
Correct, but the corresponding change of zone application, which is the other item, would allow a higher density. Yeah.
And they want to go from 2 to 4 correct. Units to the acre.
But this by itself does not do that.
The changing first item, the map. Correct, it's just to change the map.
Yeah, does not
but
do that.
You have to change the map in order to... Start at the beginning again.
so the first item is to amend the future land use map element to change the designation of the area. The second element is to change the zoning, and then the third element is to grant a conditional use in that changed zoning district.
Right, Okay. All right, I'm clear on it.
You good? Any more questions? Mr. Moore, I guess you'd read the short title for us.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the future land use map element of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 334-12.00-16.04 for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 4.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Do I have a second? Second, Mrs. Green. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Did you just need a yes or no?
Yeah, well,
yeah, for the reasons given the reason, by planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning, yeah. Now, down to you. Is it because of planning and zoning, the reason he's voting yes?
Okay. So this is just on number one?
That's correct.
Based on reasons by planning and zoning, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Hudson. Mr. Riley?
I'm going to vote no on this because I am very concerned about the density, and there is a tremendous amount of open space down there at this point. And if this will be used for justification for increasing density in those other parcels in the future, I'm all for people being able to take advantage of their property rights and build according to the zoning that they currently have. But I could envision just jamming 2 or 3 times more units down there than what we have currently. And I don't think that's wise long term. So I vote no.
Please refrain from that. Based on a reason of planning and zoning, I'll vote yes on that. Motion carried. Next.
Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1949, filed on behalf of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for the same parcel of land containing 21.62 acres, more or less.
Any questions of Council? Questions of Council? Morby, short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 21.62 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 7.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
I vote no. I do not believe that density is appropriate for this area.
Mrs. Green?
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning with conditions, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Hudson?
I will vote no on this density increase.
Mr. Riley?
I also vote no for the same reasons I gave earlier as far as increasing density.
Based on reasons of planning and zoning, I will vote yes. Motion defeated. Next, sir.
Our next item is a conditional use number 2304, filed on behalf of JG Townsend Jr. and Company. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily, 84 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Robert 100, containing 21.62 acres more or less. So this is the same parcel, the previous change of zone, but the ordinance was drafted on the basis of a conditional use in an MR district.
That is correct.
Mr. President, can I ask a question?
Certainly you
can. Is it appropriate to move forward with this application after the second one failed?
Well, we
would need to vote on it. Through and vote on it, but as Mr. White is just indicating, it was predicated upon the change of zone.
So we were going to vote no again, but it needs to be dealt with because on the agenda.
Yes.
Anything else, sir?
That's it, thank you.
Any questions of council? Any questions of council? Mr. Moore, read short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily, 84 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 21.62 acres, more or less, for the reasons 1 through 10 given by planning, zoning, and conditions 11A through P.
Pleasure of council. Pleasure of council. Am I going to be?
Yes.
We would need to make a motion in the affirmative,
yes.
And then if you want to vote no, you vote no.
Correct.
I'll make a motion for approval.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mrs. Green, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Mr. President, I had a number of amendments to add. Is there a need for that?
There is no need in this case to make the amendments. The conditional use was predicated upon the change of zone.
Correct.
I will vote no. I do not believe the density in this area is appropriate.
Thank you. Mrs. Green.
My vote will be no, based on it failed, the motion ahead failed, and so my vote will be no.
Mr. Hudson.
I'll vote no.
Based on the previous motion.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote no based on the previous motion.
I also vote no based on previous motion. Motion defeated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is from the town of Millsboro. They're requesting $25,348.48 for their Millsboro Police Department computer outfit assistance project. Last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $3,895 for the Interceptor Power Bikes by Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley, placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley, you want to give it all to him?
Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to ask, does it? I will make a motion to grant $5,000 for the police department's needs.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, to grant $5,000 from District 5 Council MAC account to the town of Millsboro for police department computer outfit assistance. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is Sussex County 4-H Exchange Group. They're requesting $4,000 for their 4-H exchange with Minnesota 4-H program. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $1,090 from the Countywide Youth Program. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda. And again, it would qualify for a Countywide Youth Grant.
Mr. Riley?
How much is in the Countywide Youth Grant at this point?
$5,332.31.
And they're asking for four?
Correct.
Yeah. I hate to deplete the entire budget on this.
Well, I'm sure we're going to have more in June, I would think.
Sure, we'll have
a jazz
more.
Festival or whatever. It is.
I'd be willing to make a motion to grant $1,000 from the Countywide and $1,000 from my account.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $2,000 to the Sussex County 4-H Exchange Group for the 4-H Exchange with Minnesota 4-H, being $1,000 from the Countywide Youth Grant and $1,000 from District 5 Councilmatic Grant. Question on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and the next one is the town of Greenwood is requesting $1,397.70 for their downtown revitalization project. Last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $1,000 for their playground upgrades by Ms. Green. And Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green.
So, Mrs. Jennings, would it make it easier for bookkeeping to make that $1,400?
Totally up to you. I'm okay either way.
I would donate $1,400 from my council money account.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,400 from District 2 council bank account to the town of Greenwood for their downtown revitalization project. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, last one is Dry Dock Recovery is requesting $9,200 for their HVAC system. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Who put on the agenda?
Mr. Schaefer.
Okay, Mr. Schaefer.
Mr. President, if I could just make a comment, I just want to say that this is a very important program that really serves the entire county and all of its citizens requiring their services. I just don't have the ability to grant their entire request.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Sure.
It's a lot. Ms. Jennings, it was a total of what?
$9,200.
Yeah. I'll offer $1,000 from the 3rd District account.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
I'll offer $1,000 from
okay.
my account as well.
Second, Mr. Riley. Anyone else?
I will also. $1,000.
Mr. Hudson. Anybody else? Okay. Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Riley, to grant $3,000, being $1,000 from District 2 Council Bank account, $1,000, excuse me, District 3 Council Bank account, $1,000 from District 4 Council Bank account, and $1,000 District 5 Council Bank account to Dry Dock Recovery Incorporated for their HVAC system. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one's in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance granted conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an events venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 46.17 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Riley introduces it.
The next one's in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance amend the Sussex County sewer tier map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel 533-11-23.02.
I'll introduce it. Mr. Hudson introduces it.
The next one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance granted conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a commercial storage facility, including RV, boat storage, the storage of commercial vehicles, and an office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 6.95 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce.
Mr. Hudson introduced it.
And the last one's in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 3.50 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Riley introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments. Entertain a motion to go into executive session for land acquisition and pending potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session downstairs for land acquisition.